Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, hi there. Good morning. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umeb. Dr. Jerry Mixon is vacationing in Europe with his family, and we'll get all those fun details when he gets back about his adventures.
He misses the radio show.
I know he does.
He loves doing this.
He might be listening. We'll find out, right?
We'll find out.
That's right. Dr. Michael Gilbert here of Northwest Vision Institute, my eye doctor, as well as yours, too.
Definitely mine.
Dr. Umeb, so... When you're talking meibomian glands, we perk up.
I mean, when I went to see him, I was having such a significant problem, and I came back, and honestly, it was like day and night for
yes.
me. I mean, I got a clean bill of health, except for the meibomian glands, and I'm like, golly, didn't even know how to spell it.
That's right. And then there was Lynette, who went in with the whole...
I didn't know how to spell it, now I've got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
Then Lynette went in to Dr. Gilbert and had just a couple of questions and things and concerns, and came back with a grocery list of, well, this and we got to fix this and it's been wonderful to be able to trust my eyeballs to you and your staff.
You have been a special challenge.
Yes, I have. Okay. And I love your staff.
She's been able to sample all the departments.
I love them. Yes. I'm like, hey, Trevor, Kevin and Kimberly, the whole gang. Just love them all. So there you go. You're in good hands with the eye doctor, Dr. Michael Gilbert. We do have some more questions for you.
I love my prescription sunglasses I got.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday. So Friday is our free scrub dress day. Otherwise, we wear our black scrubs, but everyone's allowed to choose different color scrubs on Friday. So I had some maroon ones.
Okay.
And I actually don't need glasses, but I have glasses. I have so many. I have different colors and what have you. And one of the technicians said, wow, your glasses match your maroon scrubs. I said, yeah,
so cool.
I've got glasses. This is kind of classy, right? Because I work all day without them. But then he saw me come in and he says, wow. Even red glasses with your red scrubs. Oh.
Was that Dylan?
Yes.
Another favorite of mine.
That's cool.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to go from talking guts to something else you're very excited. Dr. Pentland, of course, you're one of our newest doctors at Longevity. You have been not only specializing in gut health, you're doing so many other things, and you're excited about some information about the BPH. Now, you may have to explain what that is, but tell us what's going on.
Sure. Yeah. So one of the things I do at Longevity is the Viacher for erectile dysfunction for men. And we had a patient come in. He's a non-LMC patient. He was calling to find out some information about improving urinary flow. He felt like he was almost obstructed, actually. His physician said he only had two choices, basically get a resume procedure or some other widening procedure, or a PAE, which is a pudendal artery embolization, right? And he wasn't that interested in either of those options, but he had heard about a clinic in San Diego that does prostate treatment for BPH, which is benign prostate hypertrophy. Mm-hmm. The prostate gets bigger and sort of obstructs or starts to obstruct the urethra.
Which, by the way, happens in all men as they get older to varying degrees. And usually men can get by without anything significant like the resume procedure that you're talking about. But obviously this gentleman was having a lot of trouble and the resume was recommended.
Is that in spite of medication?
He wasn't on any medication, okay. And he wasn't on any prostate supplements.
Like Flomax or something like that?
I think he was not interested in doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
But he'd heard about this procedure in San Diego with his clinic doing extracorporeal shockwave therapy with some success.
Yeah.
And our machine is that type of machine, the Viasure. And he sent me some materials, some videos, some websites, clinics that are doing it, and an article about some results from that. It was a different machine, and so the settings weren't quite right, but I adapted it for our machine, and we decided to do the procedure. He was also interested in the ED procedure as a secondary thing. So we did the full ED treatment, but with altered settings for the prostate in the perineum. So the results were quite positive, actually. His response to treatment was, after the second treatment, he had noticed some improvement. The urine wasn't as fast as when he was 30, but he definitely felt like he was starting to feel unblocked. And the article that he sent me and that I read was they were using the International Prostate Symptom Survey or Symptom Score before and after to gauge treatment. So I did the same thing for this patient. And his symptoms reduced 19 points in 34 days. His initial score was 27 out of a maximum of 35. And by the last visit, it was down to 8.
Right. And he reported that. So hang on. As the score gets less and less, that means the patient is improving and urinary outflow is getting better.
Right.
And he went from more than half, 50%, like about a 70, 80% bad to what you're saying about 10, 15% bad. So that means a significant improvement.
Right.
Quite dramatic, in fact. The numbers are quite significant here.
Quite significant.
I'm not doing the math right, so don't quote me on those percentages, but it sounds like it was a significant improvement in urinary outflow symptoms caused by an enlarged prostate. So from going to almost obstructed, he was able to open up and pee better.
Right. Yeah. So one of the questions on that survey is, if you had to live the rest of your life with these symptoms, how would you feel? The initial was unhappy, which was one above the lowest.
Right.
At the end, it was delighted, actually.
Okay.
So very good.
Okay. So what you achieved, Dr. Pentland, with the Viasure device, which is using deep penetration of sound wave therapy in the perineum and for erectile dysfunction, is helping him come from not being able to pee or getting a surgical procedure to satisfactory results without surgery or medication, which was his goal.
Right.
That's pretty impressive because that doesn't really happen. Because a lot of times, you know, they need several treatments, but they also need ongoing medication to help support the results of the treatment.
Right. This is kind of our pilot patient for this.
And, you know, the older the patients, obviously, the harder it is to treat. And even for ED, I tell my older patients, you know, plan for the first 6, but you may need to go ahead and do 6 more and do a total of 12 treatments. But
how old is he?
He did a total of 6 sessions, and he's in his late 50s.
Okay. Oh, okay. So young. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, very nice. Thank you for sharing that. So for older men experiencing prostatic hypertrophy symptoms and obstruction and peeing, this is a very hopeful treatment protocol with the Viasure device. The Viasure device is basically the largest head available in the sound wave therapy that penetrates deeper and helps in angiogenesis so that the blood flow improves. We have been using it for erectile dysfunction. The secondary indication is for acute musculoskeletal lesions, where the protocol is a little bit different, but we do use it for that as well. We use it for longevity patients as well as for non-longevity patients. So anybody listening in on the radio show. And now the third indication will be for men with prostate hypertrophy symptoms.
Right. So the difference between our machine and the one in the article, so there's, you know, they used to use sound waves to break up kidney stones and things like that. They still do.
Right, they do.
And those are very focused sound waves.
Yes. Right?
So there's a focused sort of head And then there's a radial, which is sort of just a burst.
Mm-hmm.
And then ours is more of a column.
Okay.
So that's the difference. And so the amount of energy that gets emitted and the focus where that ends up is all sort of a little different, more advanced in our machine.
Very good.
So for the ED treatment, it's not a destructive sound wave.
Yeah.
How does it work? What's the mechanism of efficacy in treating prostate tissue?
Well, so even with ED tissue or erectile dysfunction treatment, the sound wave pulses will cause the cell walls to sort of bounce. As I say, mechanotransduction is the word for it. And that pulsing of the cell walls tends to create growth factors, improve circulation, stem cell production.
I don't want any more growth down there.
No. So growth as in growth and repair.
We're talking about the blood vessels.
Oh.
Dr. Gilbert.
Oh.
Okay.
Blood flow.
I got it.
That was his concern too. He was concerned about that. You know, I don't want more growth down there. What's going to happen? What are the side effects? The only side effect he reported was mild tenderness, which dissipated, within a day.
Okay. And I like that you're using the word sound waves, because sound waves sound so much, because this one has been reported as being less painless than the shock waves.
Less painless.
Yeah, less painful than the shock waves, because I mean, just the shock wave, the sound of that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
And the Viasure, you've had people are reporting as, not that it's a comfortable procedure, but not painful either.
No, and that's part of the way the sound waves are distributed.
Ah,
it's
okay.
Less painful. You don't have to numb the site. And, it depends a little bit on the patient, how sensitive they are, but we adjust the energy setting based on that too.
Very good. Yeah. Some good information here. All right. Our phone lines are wide open for you. We're going to talk eyes in just a minute, Dr. Gilbert, so get ready.
I am excited.
If you've
and
got,
we don't do painful things.
No. Well, I had that eye injection. Yeah.
Don't listen to her.
No. It was like, I remember getting my second one. I'm like, wow. I did it. That wasn't bad at all. That was, your son that was doing that. It was like,
yes.
Wow. An injection in the eye.
By the way,
yes.
I have heard great things about your son. Even my patients have commented on how they really enjoy seeing him and that he's a great addition to your practice.
The only flattering part of that is so many people, in a separate paragraph, not associated with that, they tell me how wonderful he is. But I also separately get told how much he's like me. He looks like me. No,
yes.
He doesn't. He's got a full head of hair. His voice is like, I don't hear that. His voice is like mine. I just, it's amazing.
There we go. And when you were having to wear the masks for so long,
yes.
I'm like, okay, which one do I have? I had to look. On top of the head to know.
It's a little painful when they come in. No, I want to see the older one.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, and my best friend is now going to you as well, getting treatment for her dry eyes, saying wonderful things about the Northwest Vision Institute. By the way, here's that phone number if you'd like to reach Dr. Michael Gilbert and his staff. Northwest Vision Institute is 425-450-2020, located in Bellevue, just right down the street from where I was born.
Wow.
I know. Wow. Yeah. Northwest Vision Institute, 425-450-2020 is that number.
I don't think it's a coincidence that it's 2020.
Yes.
No, sir. It's
very
not.
Clever. You got that phone number. We are going to take a quick break, and then we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. And if you have a question, now's the time to get through. Phone lines are open, 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
Now the race is on and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache going to the inside. My tears are holding back there and I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love scratched for another save. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all.
Leading Edge Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, and we have that country music going for Dr. Mixon.
Indeed.
He loves that song. Boy, Dr. Umat bouncing around here, dancing in the studio. Dr. Michael Gilbert here. Dr. Ken Pentland as well. We would love to talk with you. 800-465-8770. We have some calls on the line. But first, let's talk about Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you, of course, each week by Longevity Medical Clinics. Dr. Mixon says this is the fun thing he gets to do is be on the radio and talk with so many of you, answering questions, finding out what's going on in your world. And so many are patients of longevity. Some are not. And the question is, Dr. Mixon would say this, why aren't you?
Why not?
Yes. Longevity, treating the normal but undesired stages of aging and those changes of aging, because that is one thing we are all doing. We are aging. Now, they can't turn back the hands of time. However, if there are some things going on in your body, you don't want them to get worse. And if you kind of know what you could be at risk for or what might be down the line, wouldn't you want to fix that? Wouldn't you want to do some things, get ready while you can? So no matter what your age, it's not too late to start today. And to make that a little easier, doctors at Longevity Medical Clinic have and are still offering that free health analysis appointment. This is kind of your first step, making that call to get into one of our three clinics. We have one in Tacoma, Kirkland, and Linwood. Make an appointment, come in. Yes, it is a free health analysis, two simple tests, a blood test and an in-body test. And the doctor will be able to know, or the physician assistant. We have the medical, what do we call them?
Well, actually, Dr. Pentland would be
Dr. Pentland.
So
okay.
If you came in for the free visit, you might end
you
up seeing Dr. Pentland.
You may be talking to Dr. Ken Pentland. And he would look at that and be able to tell, you know what, you have some things going on, could be diabetes. What are some other things people could find, you could find that they are at risk for when they come in, just from the blood test, or if they do the bigger blood panel?
Oh, so many things. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the CBC alone can tell you so much. If they're just MCV is low or high, or they're short in B12 or short in iron, or
hormone levels up and down.
Of course, there's so much there. You know, a lot of times, and almost anyone that comes in is over 50 is going to have lower hormone ranges, mm-hmm. typically. So, but there's so many things that we test for. It's
And you explain them. I love that. You find out why they're low. Not like when you have to go to the primary doctor. You see him once a month or once a year. You get your 5-6 minutes in. And then all of a sudden you find out, hey, you've got diabetes. Mm-hmm. Like, what? What? Why wasn't I warned of this? Or didn't you see this coming? Well, maybe they did. They just didn't talk to you because you're still in those quote unquote normal ranges, right, Dr. Pentland?
Right. I mean, like vitamin D is a great example, you know. Normal could be 35, but it's not till you get between 60 and 90 that the risk factors for like 50 different diseases goes down.
Oh, wow.
So like I said, why is 35 okay? Why we should be aiming for 60 or 70?
Yes. So it's not just normal at longevity. Optimal mm-hmm. is what we're looking
exactly.
for, right?
Exactly.
All right. We want you to get in. We want you to get tested. And we want to find out how our doctors can come alongside you and help you as you get optimal health to be, as Dr. Mixon likes to say, leaner, stronger, faster, smarter. What's that other one, Dr. Umat?
Happier?
Sexier. Yeah, he always has to jump in right there.
I missed that on purpose to see what you would say.
Which makes you happier. It's so fun to go into longevity because, you know, the staff is so encouraging, so positive.
And they have so much fun.
Oh, they do. You come in and you're not like dragging in going, oh no, I'm seeing the doctor. It's more like, wow, I get to see the doctor, find out how I'm doing, what I'm doing, and how I'm improving. And so many of our longevity patients have been with us, some since the very beginning. I love this.
Yeah. You know, I was out of the office last week, and when I came back in, it was just a joy to come back. It was a smile. Hey, you're back.
Welcome.
And it was, you know, the young, as I started this program saying that there's more realization in the younger kids these days about health awareness, and they are, at least the ones that I have come in contact with, are making an effort. And I see that in our office, in our young team, our front desk, and, you know, I see them standing up at the InBody, and did you know I lost fat? These things are a huge and a significant change in the trajectory of their future. And it's not something I told them to do. It's a realization when they come in and are engaged with what we do in our practices for our patients on a day-in, day-out basis. And it's very heartwarming for me to see these younger kids saying, wait a minute, your patients are really very healthy, unlike the hospital setting that I just came from, where at this age they have so many more ailments. There is something to what you're doing here, and I want to be a part of that. And that really warms my heart, and that's the type of feedback that really proves again and again and again that you can change how you age. You can be better tomorrow than you are today. You can be healthier as you're getting older. You don't have to be bound by the genes that you inherited. So if mom and dad both had hypertension and diabetes, doesn't mean that you will suffer the consequences of diabetes and hypertension. You can actually avoid them, avoid the cardiovascular disease, the cancer, the arthritis, the vision changes, dementia that many people with diabetes and hypertension will have, the stroke risk factors. You can avoid all of that, and we can help you in that trajectory. But the first thing is the willingness to do it. I cannot do it for you. I can do it with you.
Yes.
And you have to be engaged. The more you give into the program, the more you will get out of it.
Absolutely. Here is that number to call to say, yes, sign me up for that free health analysis appointment. You can call right now. Someone is on the line and can take your call and get you scheduled. That number is 866 86 Young. 866-86 Young. You can also go on our website, lmclinic.com. That stands for Longevity Medical Clinic, but we've shortened it up, lmclinic.com. And you can pick the day, look at the calendar, pick the time, and even the location that works best for you. We want to see you in the clinic and get you healthy as you are continuing to age. All right, let's go to the phones because we've got a bunch of folks on the line here. First, Pam from Olympia. Pam, what's going on?
Good morning. I seem to have a problem with my equilibrium. It comes and goes all the time. It may last for 30 seconds or a couple of minutes, but it feels like half of me is somewhere else. I'm not stable completely. And then my head kind of feels like it's full of cotton. So that's what it is.
Dizziness and that type of thing?
Any eye things that could cause that, Dr. Gilbert?
Well, so quite often we do an eye exam as a starting point for those symptoms.
I've done
that. Although it's less common. But the reason you want to do that is there can be a micro misalignment of the ocular muscles. So at any one moment, in order to see normally, we have 12 muscles, 6 in each eye, that have to be in exactly perfect alignment, or that you can see a little bit double or be a little bit off. And so sometimes that's a muscular problem, sometimes it's a brain problem. And so that's fairly easy to test for in an eye exam.
Now, Pam, you said you did that? You did an eye test?
Yes, I had cataract surgery in February, and so I went, that's the first thing I did was I went back in for a second eye test. And she gave me a test and said everything was as it should be.
Okay. So once cleared, then it doesn't sound like that's true. But that certainly can be one of the things that can then cause it. Okay.
And so equilibrium, I guess the inner ear could be an issue as well over here, or some neurological issue. I mean, the fear always is we want to make sure there's nothing bad happening, right? And so an inner ear exam would be a good way to start. Benign positional vertigo is very common. It's just inner ear having some crystals blocked in there. And and they do an Apley's maneuver in the office that can really just move the crystals around, and that equilibrium restores back to normal. So definitely if it doesn't get better on its own within a few days, I would go ahead and see somebody. And another thing to keep in mind is that a quick viral infection can literally cause anything. And so sometimes exposure to a virus might affect the inner ears, and this might be an infective process too that'll get better on its own. So what you do would depend upon how severe the symptoms are, whether they're lingering or not, and then getting a proper diagnosis so that we can manage appropriate treatment. If it's an inner ear issue, then it should get better reasonably quickly. Infections will resolve. We have already said that it doesn't seem like it's an eye thing. And then if it still persists, then I think it's a neurological exam. Mm.
Sometimes we can also see some more foundational types of things. Like there was a study that showed that with proper vitamin D levels, sometimes when people in their 70s will have balance issues, that can be alleviated with proper levels of vitamin D or just hydration.
Okay.
Both of those.
Things to look for.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay,
is that helpful for you? Thank you, Pam.
Yes, I've had it for about 3 months, so it's been lingering.
Okay.
So I will go in and ask them to check my the crystals in my ears.
Yeah. Does it affect your hearing at all or your balance? Do you feel dizzy?
It does affect my balance, but not not where I want to fall over.
Okay.
But I do feel like sometimes I need to hold on a little bit.
Okay. And you haven't had any baseline investigations done in 3 months?
I've had an EKG, I've had an echocardiogram, and had all my blood workup done, and so far nothing. But I'm going to see my primary in a couple weeks, and we'll see what comes from that.
Sounds like a good start. Keep us informed, okay? I wish you all the best with it.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Pam.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We have several callers here that have questions about dry eye symptoms.
Oh, my.
Neo 40, kidney, that's coming up, but also about a mechanical dry eye procedure. And what was the name of something that she called that? Maybe aminograft. Does that sound right to you, Doc?
Okay, so there's an amniotic membrane treatment is what they're thinking.
Okay.
Of. Okay.
So let's get our first caller on the line.
Perfect.
I just wanted to give you kind of a heads up what we've got. Lots of questions here. Maybe you'll get your question answered. Rob from Seattle. Hi there, Rob. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Hi. I just like to say anecdotally that that last caller. I had dizziness for a long time, and when I upped my vitamin D, it did seem to help.
Oh, wow.
My question is, I went and got some Neo 40, and I went and asked my doctor for some Tadalafil to help on the heart side. So the Tadalafil was 5 meg mg's, and the Neo 40. So yesterday I got my Neo 40, and I popped one in my mouth. And then I went and looked at my Tadalafil body and said, whatever you do, don't take it with nitrates. So I'm wondering about that. Is Neo-40, which is apparently heavily in the nitrates, is that a problem with Tadalafil 5-mg?
So there are different types of nitrates, and I think there's a little confusion here. What Tadalafil does is a vasodilatation, and therefore it lowers blood pressure. And when you're taking nitrates, say, for example, for unstable angina, for heart disease, for chest pain, it'll also cause vasodilatation and can lower blood pressure. Neo-40 helps with nitric oxide. Okay. So in our office, what we do is we use it with our Vireshore treatments for erectile dysfunction, but we also measure salivary nitric oxide levels. And when you have enough nitric oxide, it helps with blood flow by causing vasodilatation. If you're depleted, which most people are, especially as we get older, nitric oxide lines the lining of the blood vessels, lining of the endothelium, and it improves blood blood flow, it causes vasodilatation. So yes, it is true that if you took a tadalafil 5 milligrams and a Neo40 together, you could drop your blood pressure quite a bit, feel dizzy and fall. We don't want that. But on the other hand, if you have a deficiency of nitric oxide lining of the endothelium, then the Neo40 will help stabilize the lining of the endothelium to help with natural blood flow by causing the vessels to dilate. Okay?
Okay. Hopefully that is very helpful for you, Rob. You know what? I'm looking at the clock. We have a quick break and we will be back with another question concerning dry eye symptoms. Nanette, Susan, and John. We'll be back to talk with you in just a moment on Leading Edge Medicine. 800-465-8770. Stay right there. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Samira Umat, Dr. Ken Pentland, and Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. Dr. Mixon is currently vacationing in Europe, so we'll find out more when he gets back.
You gave Dr. Michael Gilbert a big drum roll.
I love that.
Yes. Okay.
We were sort of feel like an award winner myself.
Yes, I think so.
And now,
the award-winning Dr. Michael Gilbert. I've seen awards on your wall. I know that.
Yeah,
you are.
I know. I kind of.
Yeah. Your staff is having to say, put those up on the wall.
They stopped putting them up. They started putting them up in my little back office.
Okay.
They said, there's too much on the walls.
Yeah. As long as you don't get rid of that big
deer
sculpture.
If you haven't been to Dr. Gilbert's office at Christmas time, you really need to go.
Yeah, we do celebrate.
It was an experience for me. I absolutely loved it. I am so glad I did not challenge your clinic and my clinic to see who was better. I know
we
lost.
We celebrate. This being the spring, I have a woman who is extremely creative and does floral displays. We've always had fresh flowers. My wife has an amazing garden, and this very creative employee comes by the house once a week and collects flowers and then does these amazing arrangements throughout the practice. So they are not... they're not just arrangements, they're displays. They're very creative. So we always have something that's a little bit fun. And then we have some of our charity art pieces that we've acquired over time supporting civic events and things like that. So
very nice. Very cool.
Very good. Personally like...
definitely worth a visit to the office.
Oh, totally. And at Halloween, you had the tree behind the reception decorated with
the
eyeball ornaments. I was like, that's so awesome.
How appropriate.
They can have so much fun. All right. Leading Edge Medicine here, taking another call. We are going to talk with Nanette. Nanette, thank you for waiting. She's calling from Kent this morning. Good morning, Nanette.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was having watery eyes, mostly in my left eye, for quite a long time, quite bothersome. So I went in and they recommended, or they said that I have dry eyes and I'm on Restasis.
Okay. What else have we done for the dry eyes?
That's all. They did a lot of looking, no problems. They said everything looks great.
Okay.
I thought dry eyes, but they're watering.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So what happens with so there are two primary systems. We've talked this morning at some length about the meibomian gland system. It was thought to be an accessory gland system and that the primary was the, quote, lacrimal gland system. Lacrimal gland creates the watery component of the tears. It turns out that that's kind of the backup system. So if the primary system fails, which is to say you don't blink enough or there's blockages or damage to the meibomian gland system, or it's just not producing optimal tears, the eye can get a little dry. Not that it can be environmental, which is to say you're in a lot of breeze or the humidity is disadvantageous, a lot of evaporative change, or you're staring at computers. There are all kinds of reasons for that dryness. But as the eye gets dry, your first symptoms can be fluctuations in vision. People who can't read very long, for instance, distance, or it can be your eyes get scratchy. But the next stage, and you may just skip right over this based on what you've described, but the next stage is the brain, the eye sends some messages to the brain and says, you know, it's a little uncomfortable up here. Can you do something? And it turns on the reflex tear system. And that just means the same tear system that's turned on when you're peeling an onion or you get sand in your eye, your eye starts to water.
Or a Hallmark movie.
So the people who come in and tell me, no, I don't have dry eyes, my eyes are watering. The most common reason, it is possible for the drainage duct to be blocked, but it's much more common that the watering is a reactive stage of the dryness. So what do you do? Well, Restasis is an effective drug for dry eyes, but it's only minimally effective. It takes a long time to work. It has 40% patient efficacy, which means there are a lot of patients who don't benefit from it. It takes up to 4 months for it to show efficacy, and I've never seen it used alone to treat watering of the eye because it just isn't effective enough. So we really have to find out what's... So doing some surface cell testing and looking at the health of the meibomian glands, why is your eye getting to the dry to the point where it's triggering those tears? It can also be an anatomical problem. If the tears that are produced need to have the anatomical normal line between the tear production and the drain, which is near the nose. And sometimes with age, we lose that contour. And so the tears can't get to the drain. But that's an anatomical problem, less common. But all of those things need to be assessed. And I think the first thing is to look at, why are your eyes getting so dry that it triggers the tearing? Restasis alone won't do that. So unless we've looked at the meibomian gland system and figured out why it's not producing enough tears to protect you from the reflex tears, from the emergency tear system, I think that's going to end up being the answer. So you might just try someone who focuses on diagnosing and treating dry eyes.
Focuses on. Okay. I caught that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Dr. Gilbert, that little.
We'd be glad to help you. There are other people who do it. I'm sorry?
My ducks are good, or you don't know whatever good. The ducks are.
So there's ducks are ducks are like the sewer pipe. That's where the tears go out. The real problem in most of those patients are the glands coming in. Not the ducts going out.
Okay. How do you spell that? Meibomian or gland?
Meibomian. Meibomian. Meibomian.
Okay. I'm going to call back to my office and just kind of mention that and then see what they say.
Honestly, if they haven't mentioned it to you, it's not a passion for them, right? I think you probably need to get a second opinion.
That would be probably good for you, Susan. Yeah.
If they had assessed it in the first place, then they would have talked to you about it, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And just again for you, Nanette, it's meibomian gland. No C in the word. Meibomian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so M-E-I-B?
Yes, there you go.
Okay. Meibomian. O-M-E-I-M. There we go.
All right.
Oh, I definitely will find out what's going on. And I feel bad because, oh, my goodness, you know, I want to be neglected, but the Restasis does seem to slow the tears down. There are days that I have none, then there's days that I have a lot.
So let's fix it.
Yeah, yeah. And it can be unilateral or bilateral.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds like she has unilateral.
It's probably it's very commonly asymmetrical.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's usually not unilateral, just asymmetric.
Asymmetric.
Right.
Okay.
So your symptoms may be different or not as noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
When one ear eye is dripping, you don't tend to notice that the other eye is a little bit dry.
Yeah, well, it's only in one eye, not the other eye. The other eye
I got
is
it.
Fine.
So okay. Usually what I do in a situation like that is I go to the eye that doesn't have the problem, and I show the patients the meibomian gland damage in that eye to get the conversation started. Because we actually image and show to patients the health of their meibomian glands. Because that helps me to understand not only what the problem is, but what their expectations should be in terms of repair. Because if they're all gone, like that 18-year-old I mentioned earlier, we have a real challenge. We have to preserve what's there and get that last 20% to supercharge to the point where it makes up for some of the loss.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nanette. Okay, Susan. Goodbye, Nanette. Hello, Susan from Kirkland calling in. Hi, Susan. Good morning. Thank you for being your patient here. We got to you.
Hello. Thank you. My question is about kidney function, and maybe Dr. Pentland can speak to this. I have a history of hypoglycemia, and what I notice is that if I eat fresh fruit anytime during the day, that night I'm up and down, sometimes three or four times every 2 hours to urinate. And I wonder, is that an indication that I'm damaging my kidneys? And should I stay away from fresh fruit?
It doesn't sound like a kidney damage issue for fresh fruit, but if you're urinating frequently, I would be more suspicious of something irritating the bladder. So, is it a particular type of fruit that, or is it just fruit in general?
Peaches, nectarines, strawberries.
Well, they have more fluid, so it's water, right? Mm-hmm. Hydration as well.
Right.
So it depends on how much you're eating, whether you're well hydrated otherwise or not. When you go pee more frequently, do you have any burning sensation with that? Any pain? Any blood?
Not really.
No.
No. None of that.
Okay. And it's been going on for a while?
Oh, yes. Years.
Okay. And how high, I mean, what are your sugar levels?
Glucose is 90.
Okay.
On a range of 70 to 100.
Okay. And your hemoglobin A1C?
That is 5.4.
Oh, okay.
On a range of 4 to 5.6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I mean, you can have things that are mildly irritating the bladder with sensitivities to certain things that isn't really a... you know, urinary tract infection, like a full-blown infection. But as the food gets absorbed from the small intestine and starts to form urines, if there's a reaction to one of those, you might have a mild reaction in the bladder wall.
Hmm.
Okay. Would oxalates do that?
That's high oxalate diets can sometimes do that, yeah.
Okay. Okay. The second question on my blood work, I got a message back from my primary care that everything looked fine. But when I showed it to my naturopath, she was upset because the UN was 25 on a range of 7 to 23. Mm-hmm. The EGFR was 58.3, which flagged as low on a range of 60 to 1.73.
Mm-hmm.
So my naturopath is concerned that my kidneys are slowing down compared to what they did in previous years, but the primary care ignored it and said everything looks fine.
Maybe we can address this as soon as we get
back.
We're
going to a break, so let's come back and talk about this.
Yes.
You stay there, Susan.
Stay right there, Susan. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine as the doctors converse and find out what could be causing this. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's another tequila sunrise, stirring slowly across the sky. Goodbye. He was just a hired man, working on the dreams he planned to try.
Welcome back. some eagles.
Did Dr. Mixon choose this?
He did. Okay. Tequila Sunrise, yes.
Okay.
Oh, good morning. Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Here along with the doctors in the studio, Dr. Samira Umat, Dr. Michael Gilbert, and Dr. Ken Pentland. And the doctors were discussing John, not John, Susan. But Susan. Susan with the kidney issues and what was going on.
And the lab test with the EGFR that is slightly below goal, and then the BUN that was slightly higher than goal. Mm-hmm. And the naturopathic versus the, you know, primary care vision of something needs to be done or not. So Dr. Pentland, would you like to address this a little bit more?
Well, three things came to mind as we were talking about those symptoms and also after, during the break. You know, if the BUN is high, you just want to foundationally kind of make sure that hydration is there, enough hydration. A lot of people ignore that, but that's the sort of low-tech part to address. But when kidney function is a little bit lower, like under 60, some things that can help improve circulation to the kidneys, but also to the heart and brain. Certain supplements have shown in studies to improve that. One of them that I love is pycnogenol, which is French maritime pine bark extract.
Ooh.
100 milligrams per day. You want to be careful, of course, and get the, you know, approval of your cardiologist if you're on blood thinners, because it does have a bit of an effect of that, too. It acts a lot like aspirin, actually. And sometimes you can replace a baby aspirin with that if you have that sign off from your cardiologist. But it's been shown in certain studies to improve chronic kidney disease. The other thing is, or the third thing is, if the symptoms continue and there's sort of not a lot of insight into why it's happening, sometimes something like an organic acid test, which looks at metabolites in the urine and can sort of help pinpoint which biochemical area is misbehaving. A naturopath or longevity doctors will run that for you, and that might be a good thing to do.
Okay.
So basically, Susan, an EGFR below 60 is indicating that there is some chronic renal insufficiency for sure. Now, we don't worry about it generally because sometimes it'll come back. Maybe it's situational, like Dr. Pentland meant something happened, or there's something that you ate that didn't agree with you, or somebody put you on a drug or an antibiotic temporarily and it causes it, and it usually will bounce back up again. So, but we do watch for it, but we don't worry about it if it's in the 50s. Yes, there is, it completely indicates that there is some insufficiency, at least at the time of the test. And then the BUN can be affected by hydration status, what you drank before the blood test. A lot of times we ask our patients to come in fasting for their blood draw, and so they don't drink enough water, and that can cause the BUN to rise. So I usually don't get worried about that. Now, the creatinine, on the other hand, is a completely different issue. If serum creatinine level is 1.3 or higher, then I do start getting worried. Now, that tells me there is some renal insufficiency and we do have to do some things about it. And so the question is, okay, there is mild chronic renal insufficiency or something that has happened at least at your blood draw time. What do we do about it? And as Dr. Pentland mentioned, there are lots of things you can do. You can watch your diet a little bit more carefully. Hydration is an issue. If the symptoms, if your issues persist, you can take pycnogel if you don't have any blood thinners on board, and or, you know, watch for some kidney-friendly foods, look for some food sensitivities, and also look at organic acids levels, which we can definitely, we can do all of that for you at our clinic. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you for your call, Susan.
Yes, thank you for calling in. All right, looks like time for one more call. Who will it be? For which doctor? I'm looking at Dr. Michael Gilbert.
How exciting.
Yes, we have John from Tacoma calling in. Hi there, John. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning. I just had a question for Dr. Gilbert. When you go in for your yearly eye exam, and you know they can either dilate the eye or take an image of it, you know, to see the conditions. I'm just curious if one is better than the other, to have them dilate or have them do the image, what you might prefer.
Definitely controversial. We offer the imaging and also classic dilation. The dilated exam, I think, is really important if you're having symptoms. So flashes of light, floaters, any changes in the retina. For our diabetic patients, we do both. We dilate the eye so that the doctor can take the most thorough look, 360 degrees around the periphery and the center of the eye, but also have the photographic documentation of the degree of diabetic change that's going on in the eye. So the advantage of the imaging is less important to me that it prevents dilation or is used instead of dilation, but instead provides documentation going forward of any changes that that we might find. It's not uncommon to have a nevus, just like a freckle in the back of the eye in the retina. Well, you want to watch those because the only one looking back there is your ophthalmologist. So doing that image allows you to put those pictures side by side year by year and let you see and compare them. For visualization of the peripheral retina, you can't beat dilation. So both have their place, and I think if there are symptoms or any retinal condition that needs to be looked at, a dilated exam is definitely the gold standard for having a complete exam. That said, imaging is a great complement to that and allows you to have comparison to the future. Did I dodge that well enough?
Were you trying to dodge it?
I wasn't trying to, actually.
Yeah. So
we do both, and I recommend both.
So can they dilate and do the image at the same
time? Yep. We, as I said, all of our diabetics, we do exactly that. We dilate for the best medical exam, and we take a photograph in order to document it. Oftentimes the insurance doesn't cover that. That's okay. That's just good medicine. We do it.
Okay. But they can do they can dilate it, and they can do the image also,
yep,
basically at the same
absolutely
time, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And but if you say, and if you have a problem with floaters, like I have some floaters now and then, et cetera, the dilation might be a better.
Certainly, if you have new floaters, having floaters is very common, normal part of growing up. New floaters means there's been a change, and that change can sometimes be associated with a retinal tear or damage to the retina in very subtle areas that have to be looked at with full dilation. So I think that's okay. Pretty much standard of care. If there are new floaters, you really need to have that checked out with a dilated exam to carefully look in the periphery, make sure there's no damage that needs to be treated.
Okay. All right. Anyways, at any rate, you can, once they dial him, you can say, hey, can you do an image also?
You bet.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, doctor.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Oh, thank you so much. That was our final call. We did have somebody that called earlier and had a question for you, Dr. Gilbert.
Yes.
About the mechanical thing that you can do to help with the dry eyes. And I'm wondering if she's talking about the
lipoflow.
I wonder if that's.
We did talk about meibomian gland dysfunction, and
yeah.
I was scolding myself for not having emphasized that. One of the things, so if someone has gland damage, one of the things that we can do is the lipoflow treatment that heats up those glands and clears out those damaging secretions that have been accumulating. And that allows us to reform healthier tears. So it's kind of turning back the clock a little bit. You can't bring back the dead, but you can rejuvenate the glands that are still there.
Yeah.
And it just is so much more thorough than you can possibly do with hot compresses.
Okay.
I've had that done at your office.
Yes, yeah. Same here. Yeah.
Very helpful.
Trevor. I find myself dependent on it. One of the reasons I invested in that is I have needed it. And I have some patients who find it so comfortable. They do it. I have one who does it every 3 months.
Okay.
Interesting.
I bet that would help with allergies,
but the
right?
Vast majority will do it once, maybe once a year, once every 3 years, because studies have shown that it lasts. It actually shows benefits for many years.
Mm, wonderful.
But I noticed that, you know, we keep growing up. And
I know. Yes.
I know.
Why is
time,
that?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. We have just less than a minute left of our show. Doctors, thank you so much. What a wild show today with all the information and all the topics with Dr. Pentland, Dr. Umat, and Dr. Michael Gilbert of Northwest Vision Institute to contact him and his staff. Here is that number. In Bellevue, it's 425-450-2020. Again, that's 425-450-2020. That's it for this edition of Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Mixon will return probably just hours before we're on the air next Saturday. So we'll get him fresh from Europe and be able to find out what else is going on in his world. He's got some exciting things planned for longevity. And we thank you for tuning in today. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you in the studios next week.